is the man to everyone that lives in that home. Praise the Lord. We're not talking about our children alone. You know, sometimes we have people living with us in our home. So that's why we say that including the people that are living with us. And we can see this one in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11, 3. If you are there before me, just like I've said, you know, when you read something, you don't forget. 1 Corinthians 11, 3. Praise the Lord. That's why our definition says that the head of a Christian home is Christ. Then it has the physical head. That is the man. And also, I have another definition of a home. A home is different from a house. A house is where we live. But a home is where there is mutual responsibilities between a man and a woman. The man has his responsibility and the woman too. That is the husband and the wife. It is a place of encouragement. You know, it is in our homes that we can encourage each other. You know, where we can discipline and a sense of belonging, you know. Like now, you know, when we are going home, our home should be a place that when any member of the people who live in that place, when we are going to that place, we should be free. We should have that, no matter how terrible we are, once we are at the entrance, that we'll be let in, you know. It's a place where we open ourselves for correction, where God himself can repackage us every day. You know, it is in your house that when you don't know something, that you are not ashamed to say it. I remember sometimes in the house when I'm trying to memorize some Bible passage, you know, I do it and I ask my children to open it. You know, I can't just do it anywhere. It is in your home that you can open yourself to correction and where God will repackage you every day. And, you know, where our true character is on display. Some people, when they see some people outside, they say, oh, he's so gentle, she's so kind. You meet him in her house, in her home. That is where our true character is on display, that we cannot pretend anymore. You know, you have to lay it open. That is what a home is. And we all know that the origin of the home is taken from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis 2, 18. We see there that we have an ordained ministry to help. Genesis 2:18. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper compatible to him. You know, we all know that as a woman, we have an ordained ministry to help. We can see here that, you know, we are to compliment our husband. We are not to complicate things for him. We are to make things easier for him. You know, when he's not, you know, when he's struggling, we should be able to stand up and say, okay, we support him. We are not to make life hard for him again. We are not to make things stressful for him. We are to, you know, where he's trying to patch things up, we should be the one to stand up and encourage him. And I want us to know that our home is part of our ministry, as we have seen this morning. Can you tell your neighbor, my home is part of my ministry? My home is part of my ministry. If you remember, each time we have a baby shower, each time we pray for people who are expecting babies, I always tell them that now you have another qualification. I always tell them, I say, you are a preacher. Now, if you don't know, you are a preacher. And they'll be looking. I said, yes, you are a preacher. Your pulpit can be in the kitchen. It can be in the toilet. It can be anywhere. It can even be on the street as you are driving. The children are asking questions, and you should be able to answer. Praise the Lord. Now we know what a Christian home is. We are not going to look at the characteristic, you know. What the responsibility, like we said it comes with responsibilities. So first of all, we are going to look at the duties of the physical head. The physical head, that is the man. Let's open our Bible to Ephesians 5:23. The physical head now. Ephesians 5:23. We should all know it. Are we all there? Ephesians 5:23. Do anybody want to read? Praise the Lord. The husband is the head, you know, is the physical head in the home. And when, let's look at the head. The head consists of the eyes, the ear, and the mouth. And inside the skull, there's the brain. So the first responsibility of the physical head is to pick things. You have to be aware of everything that is happening in your home. You know, you should be the first person to notice what's happening in the life of your wife, the children, the people living with you. If you look at, because of time, maybe we'll not go there, but we all know it. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8, you know, remember Hannah and Hannah there. You know, Elkanah, the husband, was the first person to pick when she was not happy. You know, when her countenance changed, he was the one who went to him and said, "Why are you sad? Am I not more to you than 10 kids?" You know, as the physical head, we should be the first person to pick things. When things are happening around the house, we should always ask God for the grace to help us so that we'll be the first person to pick it. You know, the brain will be able to tell us to pick things around us. God help us in Jesus' name. We see the ear, you know, on the head, we have the ears. We have two ears. The physical head should listen to God for his home. Just like Jesus always, you know, Jesus is always listening to God for instruction. Let's open our Bible to Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 116, the physical head now. If you are there before me, you can quickly read. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. We should listen to God. We should seek the face of God for our families, for our home, you know. We should always ask God, where's the next thing? Where do you want me to take these people to? And I'm very sure that when we ask God, he will reveal things to us in Jesus' name. And we know on the head, we have the mouth. The father, the physical head, is the mouthpiece for the home. He should be the one to speak the word of God to the entire families. Let's look at Genesis 18:19. What God said about Abraham. Genesis 18. For I know him, in order that he might command his children and his household after him, that they keep the ways of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Look at it here, you know. We are to speak the word of God. Look at the trust God has in him. He said he knows that he's going to instruct the family. We are the one to speak the word of God, you know, organize Bible study. If possible, even organize night vigil, the family one. It's very important at this end time. We have to speak the word of God. We should not leave it for the, you know, for people living with us or even for the wife. It is our responsibility to do it, and God will help us in Jesus' name. You know, the eyes too, the physical head, we have two eyes. We are the visionaries of our home, you know. We are the one to see things ahead, to see things. Let's look at Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6. Genesis 15. I want somebody to read. I want at least two people to read. Praise the Lord. We all know the story here. We know what happened here. Abraham was afraid here that, you know, because he's childless at that moment, that maybe the servant will inherit what he has. Look at what God asked him to do. He said, go out and look. We are visionaries for our families. We should be the one to see things. We see God's face, and then we see things. Then we ask God to help us to execute it, because without him, we can do nothing. And I also want to encourage us, the physical head, that it's very important that we listen. You know, we listen to our families too, our wife and children. It's very important, because sometimes we are very occupied maybe with our career, and know that we all love our jobs. But at the same time, I will encourage us to listen a bit, especially to the children and the wife, because it's very important. Sometimes it's very hard to confide in people outside. You tend to confide in people in your household before you look outside. Praise the Lord. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Then we are going to look at the responsibility now of the duties of the wives. We all know our first assignment is to love God unconditionally. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Are we there? Ephesians 5, 25. Praise the Lord. You know, we should, I think I got missed off here, still part of the responsibility of the husband, you know, that they should love their wives, you know, no matter what it is. You remember the type of love Christ has for us, the unconditional type of love, that no matter how terrible we are, the Bible is telling us this morning that we should still love our wives. No matter what, we are still trusting God for in the life of our wives. No matter what she's still doing wrong, the Bible is asking us this morning that we should love God. We should love him, her, unconditionally. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we say that it's very hard to love someone. I can tell you it's not hard. If the love of Christ is in you, you will love everything that is around you. You don't find it difficult to love people. And God will help us in Jesus' name. So we look at the duties of the wife now. We know our first duty as the wife is to love God and serve Christ. To love God and serve him. How can we do this? You know, we must give Christ the first preference in everything we do. You know, just like Dorcas Lydia. You know, we read about her this morning. You know, how people went out to look for somebody to come and pray for her because of what she's doing in the house of the Lord. You know, we should put God first in everything we do. Like I've just said, that if we love Christ and we love to do what he asks us to do, all these things we are saying, we find it very easy. It won't be hard, because love is the bottom line. It's the key thing. So I pray that God will help us so that we'll be able to love him as we ought to, in Jesus' name. And the second duty is to obey our husband. You know, we should obey. Sometimes I always say that because, I don't know, maybe because we are in a different environment, sometimes things might be difficult a bit. But there's nothing God has asked us to do that if we ask him for the grace, that he will not give us to obey them. You know, sometimes, even if you are right, you should still humble yourself and just say, okay, we leave things like that. And we still have time to go and pray and seek the face of God. Then we can come back and say, oh, this is what you said. I know what you are saying, but I think I got it wrong. Because if we are being disobedient, the children, they are looking. When the husband says one thing and we don't do it, and the children are looking at us, you know, we just, okay, it will come to our own time too. You know, when we ask the kids to do something, they won't listen. And from there, you know, things will just be getting somehow. I know somebody here in Perth here. This lady came to this land with 4 kids. You know, it's not a good testimony, but every time, you know, she's always crying. Because why? She lost the 4 kids. their life, but the things they are into is not a good thing. You know, sometimes you just look back and say, Lord, why have I come here? And I said, the first thing you should do is you people should retrace your step, you and your husband. Go back to the basic. Look for a Bible-believing church. Start going. She will tell me, no, they are not going because the husband will not listen. I said, what about you? Said the husband used to come home late, and I said, have you sat down, look at what he has told you that you are not doing, so that you people will sit down and will be able to make amendments and ask God to help. It's very important. You know, if we love God, we love our husband too, and we'll be obedient to them. You know, the word of God and the spirit of God will help us to put away the old man, and the spirit of God will give us the new man by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is possible to obey. You know, sometimes we just say, oh, he can't see that this is not possible. Well, sometimes we just have to trust their leadership, because God has put them as our head. So it is very important, this aspect of our responsibility and duty is very important in the house, because if we don't love them, obey them, you know, we cannot even move. We can't achieve anything. Every time we'll be arguing. It will be arguments. We'll not be able to arrive on any conclusion, on anything. And the children, we know it will affect them, because there are things that we are supposed to do jointly for the children, but when we are always arguing, not know what to do, nothing can be achieved. So that is why the Bible clearly says in the book of Ephesians 5:22, I think we should go there again. Say, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. We are doing it to the Lord. God has asked us to do it. And when God asks us to do something, if you do it, it always comes with a blessing. Praise the Lord. Am I right? When you do it the way God asks you to do it, it always comes with a blessing. So let's try and do it and see the blessing that will come thereof in Jesus' name. Part of our responsibility is the management of the home. We are the one who sees to the day-to-day running of the home. If you look at Proverbs 31 from verse 11. Proverbs 31 verse 11. I want all of us to be there. Proverbs 31. From 11. We are going to read it to the end. So I want every one of us to read at least a verse. So I will start. Proverbs 31:11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. What that passage is telling us is that we have to be trustworthy in the management of the home. Praise the Lord. You know, when we say something, it has to be like that. Me, I always, when my husband comes, the first thing after greeting him is to give him the feedback of everything, the children, what they have done. Somebody who refused to go somewhere, somebody who said, our husband should be able to trust our judgment. We should be trustworthy. That is what that Bible passage we have just read said. 12. I want somebody to read 12. She's a positive influence on the husband. How positive are we in the management of our home? Are we the one when they are going to do things for God? And they said, the church now, we are going to contribute $100. And your husband said, why did the pastor ask us to contribute $100 now? We are more than $100, so let's contribute. I'll give $150. Then you go and bring things that you are, it's not even necessary. You discourage him, you not let him pay. We bring 1,000 and one thing. We've not even done this. You are saying you want to. You bring things that are not necessary. We should be positive influence on them. When it's time for vigil, it is then you will be on the long phone call and you'll be waiting for us to come out. I'm going, I'm coming. You know, it is then that, you know, the clothes we want to wear is somewhere hidden. And we, instead of us to on Saturday evening, bring it out and say, oh, this is what I'm going to wear today. Mm-mm. When we are, when it is time to even care for other people, when the husband say, oh, I think we are due to do this for this person. Eh? Due for what? Look at even those of us that are here, we've not even sought ourselves out. You are thinking of what? That is bad influence. In his place of work, you know, our husband resumed work 7 o'clock. We wake up 7 exactly. We just, you know, some of us, you know, we like to behave like queen. We don't know that without a king, there cannot be a queen. We just come out and say, look at the time. Oh. And we know that this man, we go to work. We don't even package him. There's nothing. Even the, we don't even worry anymore. Say, ah. And you know, sometimes the men, they will just, in unfairness to them, they will just go because they don't want trouble. They will go. And you know, all this thing is adding up. Praise the Lord. That is where we're running. We have to be, it's adding up. And you know, they will go to work. They will be stressed. They will not be able to perform as they are out. And we want them to bring in something home. We have to be positive. Praise the Lord. 13, 14, 15. So can somebody just quickly read? Praise the Lord. That you read up to 15. You know, she's hard working. We have to be hard working, you know. If we are too lazy, many things we suffer in the house. Even not all. So we have to stand up, arise to our task. God will help us in Jesus' name. Let somebody quickly read maybe all those one covered up to 24. So I want somebody to start from 20. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. That is very important. We have to help people. You know, sometimes I always tell people, you have to ask God to open your spiritual eye so that you'll be able to see needs. Because people will not come to you physically and say, oh, do you know that I want this, I want that. You have to ask God to open your eyes so that you will see area where you can just surprise people. You know that you just go to people and say, oh, please, I saw this thing and I brought it for you. And they will just say, oh, how did you know? You know? We are not talking about when you see something that is rotten. Maybe you went to the side of the market, you saw those things that is rotten and say, oh, let me even know. Buy quality things and give. Or when you see something that is so cheap and it's not good, you'll say, oh, it's time that you let me bless somebody with it. No, that's not what we are saying. You should go. It has to cost you something and go and just give to the person. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 21. Scarlett. She's a planner. You know, we have to plan ahead. We plan. This is what we want to achieve. This is winter. We have to plan ahead. We plan for the husband, the children, and everybody that is living in the house. We bring the things that we need for winter out and check. Even before during school holiday, check what the children need to take to school. Is there anything that we need to buy? Is there anything we need to upgrade? Praise the Lord. 22. We can say that one too. We can still put it as hard working too. 23. Praise the Lord. What he's saying here now is that, you know, the husband is known in the city gate. You know, the husband is presentable. Just like I've said, some of us want to build, we are a queen, but we don't even recognize the king. We don't even reference him. We don't even care about his wardrobe. We don't even care about the laundry anymore. We just leave him to do it. It is part of our responsibility. Go there. Those things that you know is not more appropriate for him, bring it out and tell him that sometimes I just bring it out. Your husband will not even see it. When he doesn't see it, he doesn't wear it. Once you know that, you know that this is, I don't want you to be wearing this. Maybe it's too short or it's too tight or maybe it's had faded. Bring it out. It's part of our responsibility. Buy things. You know, we have the money. Buy things for him. Surprise him. Do his laundry. Ironing. I'm not good in ironing, but I use one of my husband's old shirts to train Adeni to help him to iron. So I gave him the old t-shirt. Be using this one to, when you burn this one here, be using it to manage so that one each I'll be giving him because I'm not too good in ironing. Praise the Lord. We should be doing it. Shoes, you know, we don't wait until, men, if you leave them, they may not even bother about changing these things. They won't. We not wait until their shoe, cause them to have bone leg before you pack it away. Immediately you sense it, that it's not good. Tell him, you don't wait until he fall down, that you say, okay, take this shoe away. Because sometimes they care for us a lot that they forget themselves. Am I right? Praise the Lord. Well done, men. So we have to praise the Lord. You know, we have to do all these things. So somebody from 24. She's delightful. She's compassionate, you know. She has compassion for people around her, you know. People in your house, the children, the neighbors. 26. She fears the Lord. That is it. Because if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you just speak anyhow. You don't even mind how the other person will feel. 27. Praise the Lord. Is it 27 that you read? 27. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. We should find something to do. We should not be idle. No matter how little it is. What the Bible says, whatever our hand finds to do, that we should do it. We should not say, oh, because there are some times that we know that we cannot do things. But when the time comes, you find little things to do around the house. Sometimes we know there are little things that we can do, cleaning the house, you know, that we don't hire labor every time. Even the gardening, I'm not so good in gardening, but so that's why I don't like it. That's why I'm saving up money now to put concrete all over my place because I can't do it. But there are some things that I'm really good at. I can clean. Praise the Lord. 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and her husband also, and he praised her. You know, the husband praises her every time because it's a great blessing to the children. Let's look at 29 to 31. Somebody to read. That is what we are. That is what we are. That is what we to be aiming to be. You know, because we have all it takes. We are compassionate. We have the fear of the Lord. You know, we are trustworthy. We are positive influence. We are hard workers. So that is what we are. We should remind ourselves. This is a book in the Bible that daily, even monthly, if we can't do it daily, monthly, we go back and look at it. Lord, this is what you are saying concerning me. Am I fulfilling those areas? We should ask God, and God will help us in Jesus' name. And the other of our responsibility, you know, is child training, the aspect of child training. This is the responsibility of both the husband and the wife, but unfortunately, it fell so much on us. Let's look at the beginning. When How many of us remember when we had, if we have a little baby, immediately the baby is born, they will roll the baby back to you. They are giving you back the responsibility. Am I right? At least I'm a midwife. I can still remember. Am I right? When the baby is born, who is the first person to cuddle the baby? It is you. The midwife, they are giving you back your responsibility. The doctor, this is your responsibility. It's unfortunate that it fell so much on us. And that is why it is very important that daily we should ask God for the grace to train these children the way we are supposed to train them. Training children is not an easy task. It's very hard. It's just like investing in business too. The same thing. We invest time. We invest energy. We invest money. And we tend to be with the children most of the time. The husband may come home maybe 6 o'clock. You've been with the children since. You really want to pick them from school, take them to places. So you know them more than anyone. So what we only do sometimes is to feed back to the dad. Oh, today this is what this person has done. This is what person has done. You know? And we all know these children, like I think I've shared it with us sometimes ago, you know, the children, they are very observant and they are great mimickers, if we don't know. I told you how I used to be on the phone for a long time. And my daughter, one day my daughter was on the phone. I said, who are you speaking to? You've been on the phone for, I said, you speak, sometimes you are on the phone for more than that when you speak to your friend. I said, okay, I just kept quiet. Okay. So we should be very careful. Because they know, just like the Bible says, that every tree, you know, bears seed after its own kind. It is the same. So whatever the children see us doing, that is what they will do. If they see us that we love God, we serve God, and we do the things of God, that is what they will do. But if we are the other, if when it is time for church, then we find something else to do. That we know even when we know that the church starts by 10 o'clock, it is that 10 o'clock that we start giving them breakfast. How can they have respect for the things of God? They can't. When they see us driving the car and the speed limit, they know the speed limit says 60. We say we are running late. They won't have authority. They won't have regard for authority. They won't. When we are, when the husband is talking, we are always talking back. When they go to school, they won't have respect to the teacher, for the teacher. When the teacher is talking, they will be grumbling too. So that is why we are to be very careful. Whatever we do, they are looking. They will do the same, if not worse. You know, sometimes when we resemble somebody, you know, the things the person, you know, we tend to do a little bit of it. How do I know? I know from my daughter who look like me. It's true. They tend to do their own a bit more than you. Sometimes I look at her. No, it's not funny. It's the truth. Sometimes I will look at her. Then she knows. When I see something, say, my twins. She called me her twins. And I just look at her. One day, she brought our pictures out. She brought her own three-month-old picture out and brought my own. Say, oh, mommy, look at it. We are sitting down the same way. We put our leg the same way. I just look at her and say, what is this? You know, I watch her closely. She eats the way I eat. I'm not allergic to anything. She's not. She eats the way I eat. And sometimes when I look at the sister, I look at that one, eat gently. But this one, when I like something, if I don't control myself, I eat it. The same thing. So I say, Lord. So sometimes I flash my mind back and those things that I'm not really doing well at. And I just start to pray. Sometimes even if I'm driving, I say, Lord, help me. Help these children. Because they look at us. And if we look at, let's look at Ezekiel 16:44. So that one will encourage us. Ezekiel 16:44. If you are there before me, we read it, but I want us, all of us, to be there. Ezekiel 16:44. Praise the Lord. And son too, put them. Because it's the same thing. We are the key factor in the transformation of our children's life. That is why it is very important to ask God for help, because by ourselves we can't do it. You know, we should read the Bible, lead them to Christ as soon as they start to lie. Remember I said it the other time. Once they start to lie, that is the time to lead them to Christ. I remember when my children were younger, if we want to know the truth, we ask Adeni, if something happened, I want to know, we want to reach the bottom of the truth, we have to call Adeni. But once we realize that, Adeni too, once we realize that, I said, yeah, now, it is time for you, for us to lead these children to Christ, you know. I told you the other time, I said, how they went, because I normally allowed them to buy a little bit of lollies. So during the weekend, they bought lollies, and they bought more than I expected them. So, and the two sisters, they kept two. Then I said, they kept some. So I said, oh, why did you, I didn't just say innocently, good things that we still have some. I took the two. He said, good things that we still have some. And then I said, okay, so you are not even innocent anymore. Okay. So we should start. Once they start to lie, honestly, we should not miss it. It's very important. We may see it as a joke. I think I have more experience than most of us here. Once they start to lie, that is the time, you know, we lead them to Christ, to know. Then when I discovered that, I went there to Revelation 2:18, where it said, no liars, we enter the kingdom of God. I put it everywhere. I put it in the toilet, everywhere they see it. So that they know that I'm really serious. Honestly, sometimes we see that child training is not an easy task. It's just like people, you know how people put time in business, you know? Put all the energy, money, everything. The same thing with bringing up children. It's an investment. And it pays later in life. Let's look at Proverbs 29:17. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give you delight in your soul. We should correct them all. We should correct them. The Bible says, a child that is left to himself brings shame to the mom. We should correct them all. We should not say the government. I've seen cases, government will tell you no, this, and when the problem comes, the parents, especially the mom, will be the one to pick the pieces. Your rod can be anything. It's not physical beating. Your rod can be grounding the children and say, okay, because of what you have done, you won't do this. You won't watch TV. When we're having treats, we won't. But to just say, oh, please, I'm afraid. Afraid of what? Who will pick the pieces? Is the family, is the parents. What the government can always do is just to, you know, they will take the children away, but when the problem really comes, the child will find his or her way back home, and the parents will be the one to pick the pieces. What I always advise people that don't physically abuse your children, but there are lots of things that is even more painful than beating them. You just take notice of what they like to do. Because you did this, because you've done that, you are not going to do this. That one is, you know, sometimes it's way dead down than to sit them down and say, no, your rod can be anything. Don't watch TV, you are not playing soccer with your friend, we are not going out. You know the favorite toy that they've been begging you for. You say, no, I'm not buying it because you've not been behaving well. They have to know that there's consequence for their action, you know. When we tell our kids, don't do this, we want you to watch TV just to listen to the news, and after the news, switch it off. How do you know if they do it? After the news, you just pretend as if you are doing something, or you go out. When you come back, I know that somebody has put on the TV in my house, and I know, because I've tried many methods, and I know. So the first thing, who put the TV on? And they'll be looking, who put the TV on? And nobody will answer. And if I don't know the person, they know that no rest until I know the person. So the person, okay, so I know, so that they will not share the consequence. So I will single the person out, and the person will be the one to face the consequence. And they all know. So because I've tried hiding my controls, they know where, so I put, sometimes I even forget where I put it, maybe in my car. And I've tried to disconnect it at the back. And sometimes when I come back, it's connected. I won't lie. The children, we always cross boundary. They will say, they connect. Sometimes I will be angry. My husband will tell me that, well, sometimes you don't get too much angry. But look at it. If you just ask these children to sit down and they didn't stand up, won't you be thinking, oh, I'll just calm down sometimes. That does not mean that we should still not set our boundary, but I still maintain it. I know they sometimes they will still go and connect it at the back. But still, I still have my standard. I still tell them. And now, you know, those were the time that they were a bit younger. Now, they know, because they know that once I say that, that's what I want them to do. And now, they even have a lot of things to do. So I just say, you listen to the news. And after the news, that is it. But we should not say, because even if I say they are not going to listen. My husband always say, just say it. That even if they don't do it now, it's getting into somewhere that in the future they'll bring it out and they'll do it. That our own is to continue to say it. We should not keep quiet. The correcting process, you know, it can be hard, you know, and it's very tasking and it's painful. You know, not all of us want when we talk to our children to listen, but sometimes it can be very painful. But what can we do? We still have to keep on correcting them. We should not be too busy for our children. We should try to spend time with them. You know, I always advise people, I say, if you still have children within school, primary school to high school, you can't do anything full time. They will say, how do I mean? I say, yes, you can't do anything full time. I say, look at it this way. In the morning, I don't would like to be the first person to leave the house. I want to see everybody leaving the house, then I'll go. I say, you have to schedule your time that at least you can start whatever you want to start by 9. And by 3, you are back home. For various things, you know, by that time, you'll be expecting your husband to come home. Around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock is not the time that you go out, you know, because it's not good even for the husband to come home. We will come home, you are not there. So he will look. Sometimes, if he can, just open the fridge and see if there's nothing there. Look for something else, and if there's nothing, that is it. We should not let that happen in our home. It is not good. Well, wherever we are, or whatever we are doing, when it is 5 o'clock, we should be rounding up and be coming home. And it's not good for the children to come home and there's nobody at home. I know those days when sometimes maybe I went somewhere ahead. I remember when I used to go to school then. So in the morning, I will instruct Adeni, before you go to school, do this, do this. Sometimes he doesn't do it. And I don't blame him because I was not there. I said, when it is raining, my friend on the street will pick you up. Sometimes I didn't go in the rain. And I'll come back and I'll just look at myself. Sometimes I used to feel so bad, but I have to do what I'm doing. So we should have time. We should not be too busy. So the extent that we don't even have time for our family anymore. If we look at the environment here, those are the things, the bottom line that are causing trouble because everybody's busy. The wife doesn't have time for the husband. The husband, the same thing, and the children, the same thing. So we are all busy. We all run a very tight schedule, but I can tell you, after God, our family comes first, especially the children. We should be the one to teach them something. We should not leave them for friends, for neighbors. When they ask questions, there are some questions that is when your children ask, it's only you that can answer and give them the right answer. We should spend time with them. God will help us in Jesus' name. Parenting is tasking, but there's no doubt about that. God has promised a divine support if we ask Him. That is where prayer comes in. I told the people last time, I said, how can you say you are parenting and you can't even pray and fast? I said, it's not possible. The Bible says there are some things that will not go away except for fasting and prayer, because we have so much to eat. I shared the testimony with the people in our house fellowship. I said, I remember then about 7 years ago, my husband said that we are going to be fasting maybe twice a week. And I said, that's good. The first week, when it was 12, then I had headache. I said, I said, what type of nonsense is this? So does it mean that I can't even fast anymore? Then I said to myself, no. Okay, because of Monday, when I had heard, I said, for this week, I'm going to fast. And to God be the glory, I did it. And up till now, we fast three times a week. You know? For ourselves, the children, the church as a whole. And for everyone, you know, the nation. So we should find time. I remember in the Bible college, the principal said that if we are fasting, that we are allowed to drink water. Huh? So when I heard that, I said to myself, I said, if you ask us to drink water, don't you know that some people will drink Coke? Oh, she said, yes. And I said, he said our body need energy. I said, well, I know that our body need energy, but if we are fasting for, like, let's say we cease, I said, the energy we need to pray, that I'm very sure that we have it. So I thank God that I didn't keep quiet that day. So it was then I said, yes, that I'm right, that she even knows somebody, you know, the type of fasting that Jesus did, 40 days and 40 nights, that there's a couple in Petier that always do it every year. Then I said to her, I said, you see, I said, once you ask people to drink water, if I have that luxury, I will eat sandwich. So, and she agreed. I said, let's not drink. I said, if you can't, let's start with 6 hours. Look at the Muslims. When do they start to teach their children to fast? At what age? How many of us are from a Muslim background? 6, am I right? To memorize the Quran, hard, it's very hard. They have to. So we have to teach our children to fast too, and ourselves, because there are some parenting, we have to pray and fast too. It's very important, especially at this end time. Prayer is very important. How many of us remember Mrs. Susan Wesley? How many kids, Susan Wesley? Is it not 9 or 12 now? Yes. And she prayed for every child differently, because you know that the children, you know they are different. So she's each child, take the child and pray for them. You know? We all know most of the hymn we sing now, her children produce them. We all know John Wesley and Charles Wesley. In the Bible too, we know Moses' mom. The mother's name is Jochebed. You know, when Moses was by the river, you know, she was praying. So we have to be praying too. Look at Hannah; she prayed for Samuel. So we should be praying. Sometimes it can be very hard. That's why I said we should even be doing vigil, family one. We all know Catherine Booth. She prayed for her children. You know, they are pioneer members of the Salvation Army. Mary Bright, she dedicated her children, the unborn one, to the Lord. You know, one of them is Bill Bright. You know what he said about the mom? Said her mom is the greatest influence through her mom's life and her prayer in his own life. So prayer is very important. We should not wait. Even if the husband, they are very busy, we can see now that we have the most of the responsibility for the children, lies on us. As soon as they are born, they give the baby back to you. It is your responsibility. The dad is standing there. Am I right? They will give it back to you. So when I was preparing this message and I look at it, so it just came to me and said, hey, so this is it. So they give the baby back to you. And it's after you have cuddled the baby, then the dad will now come to support. Am I right? To support you. But they've given you your responsibility to hold. Will not fail in our duties in Jesus' name. We can start praying 6 hours. I tell even when we are driving, if you remember, you can code your prayer. Write it on your hand as you are driving. You'll be praying. God will hear us when we call upon Him. Now we've looked at the duty of the husband, the wife. Now the children. Let's look at Ephesians 6. 2 to 3. verses 2 to 3. Can Biola read for us? Praise the Lord. So the first what? Commandment with what? What is the promise? That is what we owe our parents. We should honor them. How can we honor them? When we do what they say. Remember, we too, we are going to be parents one day. And what God said that we are going to experience long life. And it's going to be well with us. Do you know what it means to be well with us? That whatever we do, it will be well. Even our mistakes will be turned to miracles. That is what the Bible is saying. So, the duty of the children is to honor and obey the parents. We don't let any peer pressure, you know, take you away from the word of God. That's why I always tell children, my children that if you have a friend, I want to see the friend. I want to know the family. I want to know what they believe. I even want to see them so that no assess their dressing. It's very important. So that you know the type. You want that what you are, you know, we are sowing the seed in the house. You don't want anybody to be, you know, what you are doing, that somebody to be spoiling it. So you have to know. Because it's very important. And when we parents, we tell these kids something, they don't like it. But that's what children will always be children. But at the end of it, when they look back, they will thank us. They will say, oh, we are really grateful. So we should obey our parents. When our parents see something and look at it and say, oh, this thing I don't think is good for you, we should, you know, trust their judgment and just do what they ask us to do. So that at the end of it, you know, the benefit will be ours. Praise the Lord. So I think we've heard the word of God. So it's time for us to stand up and pray. Because there's no point if we hear all this message and we don't have time to pray. We've heard our duties, the physical head, the wife, the children. So we should be praying and the pastor will come and round us up. We know where we are still struggling, what we are supposed to be doing, and we are not yet doing it. We are not praying. We should open our mouth and ask God to help us.
Let's ask God to make our homes a model home, a truly Christ-dominated, Christ-ruled, Christ-controlled home. Even in this dispensation, that the beauty and the glory of God will be made manifest through our homes, will be the examples that people will want to follow. Our homes will be the model homes. It will be the display home for God, that God will look at it and say, look at the family of so and so. They have known me, they have served me, they have been obedient to me, and therefore I have blessed them. Your home will be the one that God has chosen to bless in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we ask for strength from above, that every word we have heard today will not fall on an unprofitable soil, but Lord, that they will take root in our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. And at the end of it all, we'll be the ones that you are blessed by reason of our obedience to your word in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.